So here's a guy thing for you. Women don't do this, but men do. Have you ever noticed that when a guy moves into a job that's traditionally a woman's job, and you name it, nursing, cooking, housework, laundry, and yes, most of all, staying home with the kids, when a guy takes over, it's like no one before had ever washed a sheet in the entire history of the world, right? Or baked a cake, or had to stay home with the sick kid. It's like they're Captain Kirk of the U.S. Enterprise, boldly going where no one has ever gone before. Actually, it's no man has ever gone before. Maybe that's it. I don't know. That's guys for you. Legends in their own mind. Heck, we even make movies like Mr. Mom, right? To celebrate and poke at a guy's bold new adventure. And as we've moved solidly into the 21st century and traditional men's and women's roles, or at least in my humble opinion, coming to an end, we of course have to celebrate in typical 21st century fashion, right? Not women, mind you. They've always been used to doing what needed to be done. We guys, as we think we've discovered never known before parenting tricks and laundry hacks and all of the other stuff, we seem to have the need to celebrate in public. Like that lady who found her lost coin, right? Facebook and TikTok dads are sharing their joys and frustrations of being responsible for a young, often needy, totally dependent life. And not surprisingly, they're discovering what mothers have known forever. It's not easy. For every heartwarming, rewarding moment that glows with endearingly cute photo ops, there's an equally frustrating, messy, sleep-interrupting, screaming and yelling, tantrum-filled encounter that just seems brain-numbing and endless. Dads and granddads, you need to grow up. The kids will, but will you? And when the Apostle Paul was faced with a juvenile tantrum, what did he do? Now, he didn't have the luxury of a blog or a video or any of those kind of things, so he sat himself down and wrote a letter. That's all he could do. And it wasn't the nicest letter at that. As we've been reading through 1 Corinthians, I hope you're noticing it wasn't exactly a nice letter that he was writing to the Corinthians. And the humor of it all? Here's Paul. The women should be quiet in church, tough guy, who suddenly finds himself thrown here in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians into the role of nurturer and caregiver for the Corinthian church. And he's suddenly responsible for the care and feeding of newly formed churches and baby Christians. Do you love God's sense of humor or what on this one? And Paul is not the super dad that maybe he hoped he would be, because baby Christians, they don't listen to reason, and they don't settle down. They're more like, well, like a toddler. Paul is finding out, like all Mr. Moms do, that growth and maturity don't always proceed according to a neat, orderly plan. And his frustration can be heard when he makes reference to their need, their continued need for baby food, spiritual milk, instead of solid food. You can hear Paul's frustration as we read the words he probably wrote while banging his head on his desk in frustration about the lack of progress his spiritual infants are making. I can't believe it. You still want milk. I'm offering you real food. And you still want milk. Just like a dad who's ready to break out that new two-wheeler while his child refuses to give up the training wheels, Paul is disappointed that the Corinthians aren't moving forward fast enough to his liking with their spiritual growth. Paul's done with baby steps, and he's ready to pack away the diapers, and his impatience is apparent. He says, I'm ready to move on. Why aren't you? When are you going to grow up? When is this going to get easier, Corinthians? When will I be able to trust you on your own? And your moms are probably saying, or you should be as you read this third chapter, well, welcome to my world. And by the way, Paul, you're only now just figuring this out. Paul's living out with his Corinthians what mothers have always known. Sometimes children need extra help and extra time to grow up. Paul, of course, wants only the best for the Corinthians and for all of the churches he's responsible for, and he looks forward to, with hope, the day when his young churches will gain some maturity and grow in independence. And he dreams of the time when there'll be less fighting with each other and more unity. And his goal is fewer arguments about status and more willingness to work together. He yearns for less whining and more appreciation of their blessings. And he'd like less self-absorption and more outward awareness. And a big helping of compassion on the side would be okay too. In other words, Paul wants these children to put aside their childish ways, to quote what he will write in chapter 13, which is the love chapter. Love is, you can look that up on your own. As Paul, the dad of the early church, is learning, there isn't a smooth transition from infancy to childhood to adulthood. Instead, it's a gradual process filled with fits and starts and ups and downs and a step or two back for every few steps you move forward. Looking at his newborn church, Paul is frustrated that the people aren't responding to his lessons. They're not learning as quickly as he thinks they should. And like any good parent, he's noticed the warning signs of bad and risky behavior in them. He's concerned about the company they're keeping. Their choice in role models definitely do not meet his approval. These young Christians in Corinth are allowing themselves to be influenced by the newest fads and the flashy speakers and anything else that comes along instead of relying on the constancy of God. They bend to the latest ideas that they hear. They're in awe of Apollos and overwhelmed by Paul, but completely missing the point with the God who fills them with power, as Paul puts it. But here's the beauty of Paul's words, even in his anger and even in his ranting and raving. Here's the beauty and the amazing thing that he's slowly discovering between the lines of this letter, if you do try to read between the lines, is that sometimes it's the simplest instructions that are the ones people need to hear the most. And some things can never be heard too many times, no matter if we are 5 or 55. When we hear once more the good news of a God who actively cares about us and loves us so tenderly and is willing to forgive and welcome each child of God, and no matter how many times we need to be told, we need that message like someone lost in the desert needs a cup of cold water. Ann Sullivan, who was Helen Keller's first teacher, had introduced the word water hundreds of times to Helen before suddenly, miraculously, Helen Keller made the connection between finger spelling and the object, which was water. And a whole new world was opened up for her because of her teacher's persistence and patience. So listen, and listen well, you Sunday school teachers, and you know who you are, and you WOW helpers, and all of you who have done your time in the VBS trenches, and yes, even adult Sunday school teachers. And listen well, you parents and grandparents who have told and retold and reread the adventures of Noah and Moses and Daniel in the lion's den until you can see them and say them in your sleep. As much as you may yearn for a more challenging narrative or a novel lesson on Elijah being fed by the ravens or whatever, spiritual milk may be exactly the food needed by the hungry souls that we're feeding, and sometimes our hungry souls too. And I hope and suspect that Paul found out after his ranting and raving in this letter that his words to the Corinthians provided the food that they, and for us for that matter, need when we find ourselves in an unwelcome and a difficult time in our lives. You know, we all dream about making enormous leaps in our faith life and growing greater trust in God and learning more deeply about who God is and why God loves us so deeply. We want to know those things. They're all trademarks of a mature Christian life. But there's always those times and seasons in our lives when we need to go back and revisit the basics of our faith. And even as we move forward in our spiritual journey and strive to deepen our trust in God. Example here. Who's moved by the song, Jesus Loves Me? You know, it's a simple kid's song, just a few words repeated over and over again. And yet that simplicity, does it affect you profoundly sometimes when we sing it in church or you hear that song? It does me, kid's song as it is. Paul knows that his task, like any parent, is to help prepare the people that God has entrusted to him so that they'll have the tools necessary for a dangerous world, especially when Paul isn't around to help them. Just like our job as parents or teachers is to eventually put ourselves out of a job, hopefully, Paul wants his beloved people to have the tools they need to conquer the challenges and the temptations that they will face in their life ahead. But Paul, like the grumpy parent he is, he's my role model in grumpy parenting, by the way, he grudgingly recognizes what's necessary for these Christians. And instead of force-feeding them with advanced spiritual lessons, he has to supply their need for spiritual milk. And although he may wish that such babying was no longer necessary, he once more, and that's what this third chapter is, once more writing to them about the most basic lesson of all, that they are God's beloved children and that they get their identity from their Creator. And he reminds them that other voices and influences may try to force a different identity on them and try to make them walk along a wrong path. He tells them again and again and again. And don't you all tell your kids or your students again and again and again, as many times as they have to hear it, that they belong to God and God alone. So for me as your pastor, and for you Sunday school teachers and parents and grandparents and WOW and BBS helpers and all the rest of you who need to tell and hear the same thing over and over again, take heart, because Paul figured it out. He ranted about it, but then he figured it out. And we can too. Some things are so good that they need to be told over and over again. Yes, Jesus loves you. And yes, you are God's beloved child. And yes, your Father will stop at nothing to save you. And that is some mighty fine baby food. And it's good at any age. Now feel free to move on to some more solid food anytime you want. Adults in the faith are always welcome. But remember those lessons in spiritual milk that we need to hear over and over again. Yes, Jesus loves you. Amen.